Changing our focus this morning, we're going to talk about keeping your children safe. There's a special program being presented by the Lorain County Mental Health Board, and we have Dr. Kathleen Kern from the board joining us this morning. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This is a program that will be taking place on May 14th, this coming Thursday, at Lorain County Community College. And it's open to adults. It's free to all parents, caregivers. The focus is on keeping our children safe. Safe from strangers, safe from themselves, maybe even on some occasion. And you've got a very special guest coming and talk about that, about Mark Barden and the story that he's bringing to your program.
Mm-hmm. We're very excited to have Mark Barden joining us here in Lorain County. As many of your listeners may know, Mark Barden is a father who lost his son tragically, his 7-year-old son, in the Sandy Hook tragedy back in 2012. I think that was a tragedy that really captured and kind of paralyzed the nation. I know it paralyzed me as I had a first grader at the time that all those first graders were shut down. But his story on Thursday will really be a story of hope. And I think he's an inspirational man who really just found strength to come out and share a message so that other parents don't ever have to experience what kind of pain that he's gone through. So we are so blessed to have him.
Now, you talk about what had happened. Obviously, it's not an occurrence where a gunman goes into a school and does that, but children die from all sorts of things all the time, tragically, and so the pain, regardless of how it occurred, is still real, and that's what he's presenting in his program, right?
Absolutely. He'll present on that, as well as some other representatives from his foundation, which is called Sandy Hook Promise. Talk about what we can do in advance to reduce the likelihood that something like this will ever happen. So they promote a lot of programs about reducing social alienation in children or being able to recognize mental health symptoms early on so that as a community, more youth are included, less people are feeling alienated, and there's a decreased likelihood that someone will engage in such tragic acts of violence.
You also have the authors of Digital Dangers.
Mm-hmm.
We talk all about that, or where computers is another access that somebody, some stranger, people could have to our children, mm-hmm. or children's interaction with each other that may be below our radar.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about the importance of having them here, too.
I think it's absolutely essential. And I think to your second point of the kind of information that youth are sharing with each other, one of the reasons that we developed the idea for this forum was because we were looking at information from the Lorain County Suicide Prevention Coalition. And we were shocked and horrified to see that there has been an increase in the number of youth who take their own life. And last year, 2014, it was the highest number since the board's been taking data back 20 years now. So in looking a little bit deeper into what is going on, one of the things that we recognize is a lot of youth, and I will say this is still a minority compared to the number of youth who are out there, but there's an increasing number of youth who are sending messages that promote suicide and are kind of taunting other youth to try suicide or to repeat suicides that have occurred. In addition, there's a disturbing trend where youth are actually videotaping themselves, either overdosing on medicines or doing other things that are self-harming, and then sending that out via Instagram so that all of their friends and associates can see these videos. Now, there's two really disturbing things about that. One is that when those incidents happen, adults don't usually find out until the child who's attempted suicide ends up in the ER or comes to school intoxicated because the youth aren't telling the adults. And I think the other disturbing thing is that most parents have no idea, and myself included, have no idea what their youth are doing on social media. So these messages are happening, you know, while kids are having dinner with their families. And it's sort of this invisible threat that parents of my generation and older really have no idea what's going on. So we felt like it's really important to give parents that information.
Doctor, you say there's an increasing trend here. Mm-hmm. What do you think's behind that?
One of the things we know about youth suicide is that every time there's a suicide in a community, the youth connected to the child who died are at increased risk, especially if they had a pre-existing behavioral health concern. So if they already had depression or if they already had a substance abuse issue. Now, one thing that's different is the other two risk factors are if you're geographically close to the person who died and socially close to the person who died. When I was growing up, you knew who I was socially close to because I was geographically close to them. They were on my bus or on my on my softball team. Now, in part due to social media, in great part due to social media, kids have connections from across districts and across the state, across the country. So you really don't know to whom that child was connected, and it becomes more difficult to single out those youth who need kind of an intervention strategy following this kind of event. So one of the things that we're hoping to do is to create a broader level of protection of all children, because it's become very, very difficult to identify who's at highest risk and intervene just because of the myriad of social connections they may have that their parents don't know about.
You have the program called Keeping Our Children Safe. It's coming up on May 14th at Lorain County Community College. I guess people just can register at the time.
We'd like them to pre-register because we're doing refreshments and have to figure out how many chairs to have and things like that, so they can register with our office.
And a thing like this, too, it's sometimes hard to know. I mean, you put probably programs together and you put chairs out and hope there's more than one person coming to see, or there could be a lot. It's sort of you just kind of wait and see what the demand is out there.
We've had over 200 people pre-register for this event, so we think that it's going to be pretty pretty populated and very well received. It is an event, though, just for parents, because there's going to be, it's a powerful event. There's going to be some video and some discussion that really is of adult content. So we don't want to see children participating in the event, but all parents or caregivers are welcome.
How are you going to separate some emotion from facts? Because it seems to me this could be a very emotional program and people could get lost in the emotion of it, but not come away with, you know, action things or understanding, you know, beyond just what they feel from it.
That's a great question. There's two goals to this program. One is to help parents understand the risks that they may not be aware of. And the second is for them to go home with action items that they can start immediately in order to keep their children safe. So every time we have a presentation about risk that will inform parents about what to look out for, we're pairing that with concrete information about what you could do today to keep your children safe. And in fact, our handouts, generally we give handouts at these kind of trainings, but we, at least internally, are conceptualizing that as a toolkit. So what are we putting in the hands of parents that after that evening when they go home and kind of decompress, or the next morning, what kind of things can they do immediately to make a difference for their children? But your point's well taken. You know, I think one of the reasons this event is well attended is because there is an emotional draw, but it's very important for us as the coordinators to make sure that the important messages of action don't get lost in that emotion, and we're going to do our very best to make sure that works out.
Now, it's not unique to this program. As the Mental Health Board, you probably have kind of pamphlets or information for people who have children that they may feel are exhibiting signs or things of, you know, that could lead to suicide. What are some things that people can do so they don't feel helpless?
There's many things that people can do. And so, for example, at our board, we have trainings all the time about just mental health first aid, or how to manage people, how to respond if somebody you know or care about is suicidal. The reason why this forum is important, though, is I'll be honest with you, we have the information, the resources, and we go out and talk to the community, but sometimes we don't have a sufficient emotional connection that people really take interest in the information that we have to share. So we're trying to pair that information, those action items, with an event that really moves people to use the information, the resources that we have available. I would say we also have a list of resources on our website. So, for example, if you were wondering if you or somebody you love were depressed or had anxiety, there's a free anonymous screening you could take, and a list of all of the mental health agencies that we at the Mental Health Board fund so that people can get into service regardless of their ability to pay. So those resources are out there, but we're hoping an event like this will spark people's interest to take advantage of the resources that exist.
And this is a benefit for parents, caregivers who have children of all ages, or is there kind of a at-risk or higher-risk age range that maybe should,
you know, include? We didn't want to exclude any parents. I think it's probably, given the social media component, it's probably going to be most relevant to parents of youth in middle school and above, but we didn't turn anybody away if they had younger children and want to attend. The challenge is social media is always changing. So if you go to a forum tonight, Thursday, about social media today, and your child's only five, by the time your child's 15, it's going to be completely different. By the time your child's six, it's going to be completely different.
Try to stay a little bit ahead of the curve, or at least ride the wave a little bit so that you're not too far behind.
Exactly.
That you have to go. Again, this is coming up on May 14th, Keeping Our Children Safe at Lorain County Community College. It'll feature Mark Barton, who lost a son at Sandy Hook, speak about youth who die prematurely and the promise of interventions that keep children safe. And also you've got Tim Conrad and Officer Don Stanko, authors of Digital Dangers, educating parents on the virtual dangers posed to our youth on the social media. And maybe they'll give us some of those questions you can ask your kid that kind of crack through the code. Sometimes you can ask your kids the same things over and the same answer. But if you ask them sort of a slightly different question, they'll go, oh, yeah, there was so-and-so at school and this happened. And suddenly you find out this whole other, I don't say underground, but this other activity that might be going on.
Right. And one of the things they're definitely going to talk about is just the importance of setting up that communication on the front end so that you have an established relationship with your child and you can have those discussions. The other thing that we're going to hand out is just sort of a cheat sheet. It's interesting you said crack the code, where, you know, our youth who are texting with all of these little acronyms and parents have no idea what they are, we're going to sort of unseal the lock on that and let parents know, you know, there's little acronyms they use to let each other know that there's a parent in the room when they're texting. And we want parents to know what that looks like and sort of help crack the code there as well.
Do you know what that is, Brooks?
I don't know what that is. No, I don't.
You got to go to the forum.
I think it's get out of here. Get out of here. What are you doing here? That kind of a thing. You have to kind of, but it's just keeping your eyes and ears open and understanding that it's happening out there. And it could happen to, you know, it's that phrase, you know, it could happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you sort of bring in a real life situation to sort of analytical or you know, knowledgeable. But here's the emotional part of it that make people understand about it.
Exactly right. Otherwise, it can just be too dry and people think it doesn't relate to them.
Right. But as someone who's, involved in it, you see the individual person. You see the progress. You see the pain that can happen. You can also the successes that can come out of.
Absolutely.
Fixing that. And again, if people want to find out more, it's the Keeping Our Children Safe. And you can call 233-2020 if you'd like to register for that. Again, it's at Lorain County Community College. Registration is at 6. Program starts about a two-hour program.
Yeah, it'll go 6:30 to 8:30. Between 6 and 6:30, there will be all sorts of tables out there where different community partners will be giving away free resources, information, and otherwise. So we're encouraging people to get there at 6 so they can have some snacks, find a seat. And like I said, I think it's going to be pretty crowded, so we want to make sure everybody pre-registers so we make sure everybody has a seat.
Sounds good. Dr. Kathleen Kern with the Lorain County Board of Mental Health, thank you for coming in and putting on this program. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much. I really appreciate being here.